Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome everyone to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we give you all the praise and the honor for every word that's said and every deed that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Glory to God. I got so excited yesterday. I'm so thrilled about what God is doing. Mm. We're in the midst of the grandest outpouring that's ever happened to this planet. Mm. And for God to be so gracious to allow you and me to be here right now and to be involved in what He's doing is just beyond my imagination, but I'm so thrilled to have you here at this time. It's marvelous.
My blessing. And I'm still amazed that God can involve any of us. You know, what an honor to be part of His purpose.
And I want to say this for this whole audience. One of the things that thrills me beyond measure is to have a Jewish rabbi on this broadcast and give me the opportunity to show you and every Jew on this planet how thrilled we are to be a part. Mm. If it hadn't have been for you, there would never have been a me, because Christianity owes its existence to the Jews. Mm. And our voices have been quiet far too long.
Well, it's mutual because, you know, it's like Ruth and Naomi, you know, and Ruth, this whole thing with that Ruth, you know, was the Gentile. She's blessed through Naomi to come in, but through Ruth, Naomi is blessed. So it says, you know, salvation went to the world, went to the Gentiles, also to bless that we can come back, you know. So, you know, it's a beautiful love story. You know, the non-Jewish person, the Gentile, has come in through the Jewish people, that the Jewish people can come in back through them. So it's the love of you and the love of God's people, which hasn't always shown in church history, but it's showing now.
It is.
That is the love that, and the prayers that have brought us back. You know, I came back, there were people who were praying. There are people who, part of it was also Hal Lindsey and, you know, the late great Planet Earth. Sure. They were faithful people to keep the torch burning. This is Israel's torch for everybody, but they kept it burning so we can come back. And so one is not complete without the other. It's like a marriage. It's like man and woman that one, they're different and they're the same, and they're one, you know, one completes the other. So we're us coming back, you know, that's part of the closing act. You know, this closing of God's thing, and without one, without the other, is something's missing. The Jewish people without the gospel, something's missing, and the church without its Jewish roots is there's something
oh,
missing.
Yeah.
The Israel and the church have to come together.
Isn't it wonderful?
And it's coming. Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
It
praise
is.
God.
It is.
Get us back in here, Rabbi. Let's get back into the...
Okay. Just to set the stage in a nutshell, we're looking at the mystery of the harbinger, which is the last days of ancient Israel, went away from God. There was a strike on the land that God allowed that to warn them, shake them up. And then the harbingers of judgment warning them are appearing in the land. And then the parallel is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today, now in America, the same harbingers are appearing, warning, calling us, beginning with 9/11 and going forward. So right
exactly
now,
exactly the same
happening with specific
That's
eerie
so
fulfillment.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's we got up to three, you know. And so I'll talk about the fourth one in the book, and the fourth one is the tower. And here's the thing. You know, the people after the attack in ancient Israel, they said, you know, the bricks have fallen. Isaiah records what they said. We will rebuild with hewn stone. In other words, they're saying, we're going to build bigger. You know, bricks, you can go up so far, but hewn stone, you can go to the sky.
Wait.
So they say, we're going to rebuild and we're going to build bigger, better than ever. So what happens is they start rebuilding to show basically man and God, we're not going to be humbled. We're going up without God. And the thing is that when you look at there's a version of the Bible called the Septuagint, which is the first translation ever made of the Bible. In fact, the New Testament quotes from it all the time. It's the Greek version made by rabbis for the Greek-speaking Jews. This is before the New Testament. And so in that version, when they got to this vow of judgment, the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn or quarried stone, they translated it this way. The bricks have fallen, Come, let us build for ourselves a tower. Now, where did they get that from? They got it from Babel. They got it from Genesis 11. And they saw the connection between Babel, a tower of defiance going up, and Isaiah 9:10, where a nation in defiance says, we're coming back stronger, going to build a tower. Well, here's what happened after 9/11. American leaders start saying the same things that the leaders of ancient Israel said. I mean, the same things. And they start saying, we're going to rebuild bigger, stronger, better, higher, taller. And they even say, some very famous people said, we're going to build a tower that's going to be it's going to be defiant. It's going to show the world we are defiant.
Didn't they call it?
They literally use the words of that. They literally use the word defiance, the same words that you find in the commentaries of Isaiah 9:10 all the time. They're doing what ancient Israel did. And, you know, it wouldn't be wrong to build, but without God, that's the problem.
That's the whole thing.
That's the issue. You can't do it yourself.
They didn't say, by your grace and help, we'll rebuild. No, they said, we're going to do it, and we're going to be stronger and bigger.
Without you.
Really, in defiance of God himself.
Just like the same spirit of Babel. You know, the tower going up. And the thing is, Brother, if you look in the Hebrew, you know, it says at the beginning of this vow in Isaiah, it says, the people say, in pride and arrogance of heart. Well, the word in Hebrew for the arrogance is the word gadal. Now, gadal means arrogance, pride, but also from that word you get the word tower, the very word. The word in Hebrew, migdal for tower, comes from pride. Pride, the same thing from Babylon. So even it's even in there in the Hebrew. I mean, not only in the Greek, in the Septuagint, it says we're going to build a tower. In the Hebrew, it's linked to pride. We're going to build a tower. So here this tower goes up. So what happens on Ground Zero is they start rebuilding, saying we're going to show we're coming back stronger. Well, not only they start doing, but they actually build a tower. And the whole thing about this tower is that they say it's going to be bigger and stronger than the one before. It's got to be taller, and it's going to show the world of our defiance. Well, now, I didn't realize this. You know, when I originally started seeing this with the Harbinger, I didn't realize this, but I don't even know if it's in the Harbinger. There was a scripture hidden in Ground Zero that a guy, the official photographer, saw it, and he took a picture of it. They whisked him away because it was dangerous. He went out, he looks at his camera, looks at the picture, and when he sees the picture, he breaks down and weeps. What was on the picture was one page of the Bible you could see, and the scripture was, come let us build for ourselves a tower, embedded in Ground Zero. The words of Babel right there, and the words of Isaiah 9:10, the Harbinger scripture in the Septuagint, right there where the tower was going to go up. So here, America builds a tower without God to show the world that we are stronger with and without God, as America in that time has been moving away from God, and yet saying, that's a bad combination. That's a dangerous combination.
That's deadly, man.
And there's more, and one of the things, we won't do it now, but because one of the things about the Harbinger is that they haven't stopped. They've continued to manifest. So we're going to see something as we go later about what's happened since that has to do with that tower right now. But now we'll go to the next Harbinger. The next Harbinger is this. They said, the bricks have fallen. We will rebuild with hewn stone. Now, that the word in Hebrew, of course, they didn't speak English, is gazit stone. Gazit stone is a massive rectangular block of stone, not bricks, not clay. They quarry it out of the quarries of Israel. They go up to the mountains, build this gigantic thing, bring it back to the ground where this all happened, where the bricks fell. And they say, this is the symbol that we're coming back bigger, because this is bigger, this is stronger. So here is the stone, I sometimes call it the stone of judgment. This is the stone of their defiance. So they begin the building with these gazit stones. All right, now, what happens after 9/11? The people of New York go up to the mountains of New York. They quarry out a stone. The stone is a gigantic 20-ton rectangular block of stone. It's a biblical gazit stone. According to the mystery, this stone has to go back to Ground Zero where the bricks had fallen. They bring it back to Ground Zero, bring it to New York City, bring it to Ground Zero. They lower it down where the bricks had fallen. This is a gazit stone as in the prophecy of Isaiah. They have a ceremony around the stone. They have leaders of New York and New Jersey pronouncing vows of defiance over the stone, as in the same spirit as in Isaiah 9:10. In fact, the governor of New York says this. He says, we are doing this in the spirit of defiance, literally says the words. If you look at the commentaries on this, Brother Coleman, on Isaiah 9:10, you'll see again and again, the commentators will say, this is all done in, quote, the spirit of defiance. Well, they actually said it as they laid this Gazit stone, the stone of judgment, at ground zero. That is the beginning of that tower. So not only you have the tower, you've got the very word, the very actual thing from Isaiah. But the next thing it says, the bricks have fallen, we will rebuild with hewn stone. And then it goes on, Isaiah records, the sycamores have been struck down. Now, what happened is when the Assyrians moved in, that first strike, that warning, not only did they devastate the buildings, but the other sign was uprooted trees. They left the land in devastation, the trees fell. Sycamore. Now, the word in Hebrew is shakam. When it means the fig mulberry tree. Now, when you put that together in Greek, fig mulberry becomes sucus moros, you get sycamore. So that's how you get it. Yeah. So the sycamores have fallen. And most translations will say that. Some say fig, but that's it. So the sycamore tree as well. Now the striking down of trees, as you know, in the Bible, again and again, is a sign of warning of judgment. Mm-hmm. I mean, the uprooting, God says to Israel, listen, I planted you. I'm the one who planted you. You cannot defy me and turn away from everything and expect to still be standing. You'll be uprooted. And that's the warning. The tree falling is a warning of uprooting, and that's exactly what would happen to Israel, would be taken away, uprooted from the land. So it's a warning, a biblical sign of warnings, particularly the sycamore. You know, the first sign of national judgment with Egypt, the first thing we have, it says the sycamores were struck. I mean, same sign, the striking of the sycamore. So here's the big
one. That is so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, God is so consistent. And so the question is, could this sign, this harbinger, have appeared in New York City? Now, if you're looking for trees, the first place you go to is not New York City. You don't expect that. But here's what happened. When the last tower comes down, a beam goes forth, or the force goes forth, it strikes an object near the tower. Right near the tower. And what the object is a tree. The tree that it struck was a sycamore tree. A sycamore, the same biblical sign of judgment at ground zero, is struck by the tower, literally by 9/11. So not only the towers fall on 9/11, but the tree falls on 9/11. Same word. That tree is literally named after the tree in Isaiah 9:10.
Oh,
struck down. The people of New York, they think it's a good, they make a sign of it. They put it on display, the uprooted sycamore. They put it on display, call it the sycamore of ground zero. People from all over come to visit this uprooted tree, having no idea that this is a biblical sign of warning and judgment of a nation that was planted by God's grace and yet turned away, warning you cannot turn away from that and expect those blessings to continue, but the warning of uprooting. In fact, in that the uprooted tree, and actually that was the thing that I first saw when I was at ground zero, and I saw that tree, that's when something said, and my inside said, you have to seek, this is a mystery here, you have to find, it's the first piece. And if you look there, you'll find that what they had when they had it on display, they had the uprooted tree, and they had the tree, inside the tree was a brick. You know, it says the bricks are fallen, and the tree has fallen, and the same, they were together, in the roots of the tree was a fallen brick. I mean, literally, Isaiah in ground zero. You know, so we're talking about exact things, and it goes on.
God just wrote His name all over that. For us to see and understand. Yeah. We got to get this straight.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think people say, God is specific, and to put His mark, He uses His word,
yes,
and this
sir.
Is His word, you know. And so you have that. Then it goes on. Isaiah says, the people said, the sycamore has been struck down. We will plant cedars in their place. Now, here's the thing. They start, this is another act of defiance. They say, okay, you're not humbling us, just like we're going to build bigger. We're going to take a stronger tree, and we're going to plant it right where the sycamore has fallen to show you we're coming back stronger. We're going to blossom like this tree. The tree they choose, the Bible, most Bibles will say cedar, and and that's a good translation, but there's more to it. They take in Hebrew, it's the word erez tree. Erez tree can be a cedar, literally, but it also literally means a pine, an evergreen. It literally means panacea tree. That's the best kind of thing of it. It can be a cedar, but it can be anything that is of this family. And the thing is that what it means in Hebrew, the word erez literally means strength. So they're saying strength. So the sycamore, okay, but we're planting it right in its place. They're performing a ritual act. They're kind of showing God, it's like in his face, saying, right where it fell, we're planting this other tree. Well, in Hebrew, it's the act of halaf. It means to put a tree where another tree had fallen. Now, that's what happened. What happens to America? 2 years after 9/11, a tree appears in the sky. It's literally being lowered down to earth, and it's going into the exact spot where the sycamore of Ground Zero stood and was struck down on 9/11. They're performing the ancient act of halaf, the ritual act that Israel did. Now America's doing it. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody's trying to make it happen. It's just happening. They put it down, the tree in the place. They have a ceremony around the tree. And when they're around it, they call it the Tree of Hope, meaning we cannot be conquered. They said, we cannot be conquered. This is a sign. This tree is a sign, just like Israel does. And what kind of tree is it? I mean, it'd be natural to put a sycamore where the sycamore fell. It's not a sycamore. It is a pine tree. It is a conifer tree. It is a panacea tree. It is the Erez tree. They perform the exact act of ancient Israel.
Glory to God.
Nobody could have put this together. I mean, nobody. The people who did it didn't even choose. I mean, somebody donated the tree, didn't know. The terrorists certainly aren't reading Isaiah 9:10.
No,
and they couldn't have planned the sycamore being fallen. I mean, this is how exact God is. How he's in the details, how he's in everything. I mean, exactly. Performed at the ground of Ground Zero.
If any element of this
yes.
had not matched,
that's right.
Then it would not be so indelibly stamped with the mercy of God, because he has set it up
yes.
so exact and so richly tuned together that any skeptic that looks at it cannot argue with it. God is saying, come on, baby, straighten up now. Come on, repent over this thing let me give you a new nation.
Yes.
Repent over this thing and let me pour my spirit out on this place. He's not trying to destroy it.
No. People say, well, listen, if there was no hope or there was no mercy, there'd be no harbingers.
That's right.
What's the point of warning if you're not calling? What's the point of warning if you can't respond?
If it was any less exact, I mean, that just shows you how God is so involved.
Yeah. And that, so you don't miss it. And it brings you right back to the scripture, because this is all, you know, I didn't know when I was in Ground Zero and this began, and I saw that tree. I mean, I had no idea where this was going, you know, and something says, look, search this out. There's something there. Immediately, I'm led to Isaiah 9:10. Now, because you can go on a concordance, it's going to lead you right here to Isaiah 9:10, which is telling you, and the same scripture we were talking off the air, that David Wilkerson, the week after 9/11, says this is from God. He didn't know about the tree. He didn't know about these things. But and these things were only discovered. I mean, this happened right after 9/11. Most people didn't even know about this. And so it's bringing you to the same word. And the word that it's bringing you to, just these harbingers, is the word of what happened, what God gave to Israel when it was falling in danger of judgment. And the example we have, you know, the Bible says, these are all examples for us. You know, what happened to Israel is an example to all of us. And that's exactly what happened in Israel's last days and when it turned away. But God is saying, it's his mercy that says, I don't want that to happen. It's his mercy that warned them then. It's his mercy that warns us now.
Absolutely.
And he's saying, I want life. Choose life. But he's making it very specific. And it's even, Brother Copeland, it's even going to get more specific. Because what happened next, I don't think we'll have time now, but what happened next is that when I literally was on the computer and I'm typing in Isaiah 9:10, and instead of showing me the verse of Isaiah 9:10, it takes me to Capitol Hill and reveals something I had no idea of. Not only were all the harbingers leading to Isaiah 9:10, but actually God was going to cause this scripture to be proclaimed from Capitol Hill, sign of judgment. Talk about exact.
Oh, my. Where are we, Tim, on time? Oh, my goodness. Get your time stretcher out there and let's get... This is so important. Now get this. Don't ever be frightened of judgment. Mm-hmm. the person, the man or woman, that lives by faith. When God corrects us, it's because if we continue to live by faith and walk by faith and not by sight, we never have to change our lifestyle because the surroundings are changing, the economy is changing. We accept our correction. We stay in line. We're walking in the kingdom of God. We're walking with Him. We're walking through all of this rubble, praise God, because there's an outpouring at hand that's beyond anything this planet has ever seen. And all of this, I'm convinced, all of this, these are birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation, a new nation under God. And I don't believe anybody yet knows what it's going to look like, only God. And it's going to be the best thing that ever happened here.
The mercy of God leads to repentance, you know. And if you remember, we alluded to it in the first program, but that you know, we saw the glimmers after 9/11, a shadow of what could have been the greatest revival. We saw people going to church who never went to church. We saw people talking about God who never talked about God. We saw what it could look like. You know, the missing thing was repentance. And now I believe, one of the reasons why I believe the Lord gave the harbinger is that when the next things come, we're not unprepared. He's putting it together.
Right.
You know, people, when anybody talked about God after 9/11, they were shouted down. You know, I mean, when they said, okay, is God warning us? Shouted down. But I believe He's warning now, putting it together, that when it happens, we cannot ignore it. And we cannot ignore it except either say yes or no to God. And God,
that's the effect it had on me.
Yeah.
And particularly the deeper I got into your book, the more I realized that, like, my spiritual father back there years ago when this happened, he said, this is a wake-up call. Well, I believe we're waking up all over this country. Praise
we need God. It. That is what he's calling.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.